Well, thank you so much. It's a real joy to be here. It really is. And thank you for your warm welcome. So we've lived in Newton now for just over 6 months, nearly 7 months. And we're loving being in Wales and being part of what God is doing, especially here in this church. So we feel very much at home. And Alex and Jane have just been amazing. I know you knew that they were amazing, but they've been just so helpful and releasing. I think probably they did hope maybe we might come to this church, but they were so releasing in that. Really, really helpful. So I might be a bit rusty today, okay, because I haven't preached for such a long time. It must be a good 6-7 months since I last preached. So forgive me if I make lots of mistakes along the way. Let's pray together, shall we? Holy Spirit, we ask you to come now, that you would open our hearts to the things that you, Lord, want to say. And Father, I just get this sort of sense that there's a veil which is about to be split from top to bottom in some people's hearts and lives, and that they'll be able to see Jesus. They'll be able to see him clearly. They'll be able to see the truth. So I give you thanks in advance for what you're about to do. Amen. Amen. So my talk today, is about deception and destiny. Deception and destiny. And I'm going to talk about how those two things interact. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being deceived. You know, I don't want to be deceived. I want the Spirit of truth to live in my heart so I can discern what's going on. And I also, like you, want to move into the destiny that God has called me to while I live on this earth. There are things that I want, and I'm sure you do too. So I've got a key verse, which is not up there. We're going to sing a new song by the looks of it, so... We've come there. Here we go. Thank you. And so this is Ephesians. And here it goes. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So this is really the key scripture for my talk. And there's part of it I'm going to repeat as we go through. And it's that part which I've underlined there. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It's important, isn't it, that the eyes of our heart are enlightened. In fact, I do remember an old song about that. So I've got another picture for you. Hopefully this time. Yes, here we go. So can you count the number of zebras you can see there? Anyone want to give a stab at it, how many zebras they can see? I'm going to be really honest with you now. I haven't counted, so I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because I'm not really interested in the zebra. I'm interested in the lion. You can see the lion? I'll leave it up just a little bit longer for some who might want to just have a look and see. But it's so important to know that we can be easily deceived. I can be easily deceived. Okay? So where do we sort of start? When we want to find out about things to do with spiritual truths, I've often found the best book in the Bible to go to is Genesis. It's sort of like the beginning of so many spiritual truths, if we go there. And here we go. The man said... The woman you put here with me, emphasizing the you, of course, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. And then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Well, so we've got Adam doing the man thing and abdicating all responsibility. And the woman was deceived. Well, in fact, they were both deceived, weren't they? And so the spiritual truth, what I want to take from here, is that actually right at the foundation of who we are and our ancestry, the enemy deceived. Okay? And he continues to want to deceive you and me. He wants to deceive you. But I, for one, don't want to be deceived, and I know you don't want to be deceived either. So we're going to look at this in a bit more detail. So another part, which sort of going back a bit here, is the next scripture, which, here we go, still in Genesis. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it. So obviously this is the precursor to what happened. This is what happened beforehand. And the thing which, the word which I really want you to sort of think about is this one. Desirable. Now, part of my sort of premise, part of what I want to bring today is that our desires impact how we can become deceived. And I'll explain this as time goes on through this talk, how the things which we want are the very things sometimes where the enemy can get in and deceive us. So I've got a couple of points. Point number one is that we can all be deceived. I have to be honest, being, as I was, an arrogant young man only a few years ago, and I thought, it's difficult for me to be deceived. You know, I've got my head screwed on, I can work things out. And of course, I was young and ignorant and hadn't got a clue about spiritual matters. But a lot of people in the world are offended if you told them that you could be easily deceived. A lot of Christians would be offended if you said, well, you might be deceived. If somebody came up to you and said, I think you're deceived, how are you going to respond? If you're like me, you probably get a bit defensive. No, I'm fine. I can see what's going on. No. Point one is we can all be deceived. And the second point, which I just want to bring at this point of the talk, is, you know, what we desire or want can be the entry point for us to be deceived. It's the way the enemy can get in. So our personal desires and wants. And when I look back over my life, I can see how I was deceived, and they were often to do with things that I wanted. It's not wrong to want things. It's not wrong to want the kingdom of God to grow in this place. It's not. The problem is that sometimes the enemy can get in. And we do things to make that happen in the wrong timing or the wrong way. And that's how we get deceived. As soon as we start moving it, trying to do it our way rather than God's way, is when the enemy can come in and start to deceive us. Have I been deceived? Yeah. Have I been lied to by the enemy and believed it? Yeah. Do I want it to continue to happen? No. And do I want that for you? No. I want our eyes to be open to the things of God. Just want to spend a little bit of time understanding from a scriptural point of view what Satan is and what he's done and what he's trying to do now. He continues to do. And in John 8, you get this, you belong to your father, the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. That's an important part about his character of the enemy, is there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. So Satan is a liar and is a father of lies. But I need to say, if I was to hold this up and I say to you, it's white. For those at the back, you probably can't see. But if I said that this was white, I'd be lying to you. And you say, no, David, it's black. And you'd be right, of course. Okay? Satan very rarely works like that. Because we'd pick it up on every occasion, wouldn't we? We could see through his lies. I just need to tell you, and I'm sure you're already aware, when Satan lies, he knows us well, and he's very subtle, and we don't even notice it at first often. Which is why we need to be aware that we can be deceived by the enemy, and we need to ask some important questions about the things we're thinking and the things we do, to make sure that we're not being pushed aside to something the enemy wants rather than what God wants. Often the enemy can't really stop good things happening, but what he tries to do is just put a bias on it. You know, have you ever been bowling when they've got a weighted ball and it goes around in a curve? It never goes straight in bowling, yeah? So that's the bowling you do outside on the green, or can be inside. And what the enemy sometimes wants to do is to put that weightedness into our lives so we're deceived a bit and we don't quite get to the mark. Does that make sense? There's a deception going on, so we think we're still moving forward. It feels okay. But actually, as we go forward, we're moving off target. And that is more the way that Satan operates in our lives. Quite subtle. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be opened. I pray that the eyes of my heart will be opened. Now, what I want to say is that, which is really to do with the sort of title of the talk, is our destiny, the things that God has planned for you and I to do while we're alive on this earth, can be affected because of the deception of the enemy. A bit like that bowling ball which goes off kilter and isn't quite running true. You may achieve some of the things that God wants you to do and planned for you to do since the beginning of time. But what the enemy sometimes tries to do is just push it off a bit so it's not as effective. So when you look at your life, it seems like it's heading in the right direction. But actually, there are some issues and we can get pulled off course. I just want to say that there are two sort of types of destiny. If you are a Christian today and you've given your life to follow him wholeheartedly, your destiny is to be with him forever. And that is the truth, isn't it? Amen. The enemy cannot take that away from you. What the enemy is trying to do is for Christians is to put them off course. And to make them believe some lies about themselves, others, or things which are not true. That's what he's trying to do. And I just need to say that I've met a lot of people who believe in God, but they've never bowed their knee to Jesus Christ. Now, I was that person one time. So I was about 21 years old, and my parents got filled with the Spirit. And I've got three other siblings, and I'm the eldest, and they all became Christians, one after the other. And I hadn't at that time. Now, I had an argument with my brother-in-law-to-be about the existence of God, and I was on the side of God exists. I was absolutely certain that God existed. And I can remember having an argument with him about it. He's a Christian now, anyway. And I realized when I look back that I believed in God. And I believed that God created everything. I did believe that. But I hadn't bowed my knee. And do you know why? It was because I believed a lie of the enemy. And this is going to sound so stupid when I tell you this lie that I believed. Okay, here it goes. I thought that if I gave my life wholeheartedly to God, I wouldn't have any free will to do what I would want to do. I would just be like an automaton. I would just be under his control. I had no evidence for that to be true. And yet there was something in me, a fear in me, a foothold in my life where I thought, okay, if I give my life to him, I'm going to lose my free will. It was an absolute lie. And yet I was deceived. I just want to say, if there's anybody here who can identify with what I'm saying, you believe in God, you believe maybe you created everything, or you're fairly sure, but you've never actually bowed your knee and trusted him fully with every part of your being as best you can, then I'd like you just to come and have a chat with me afterwards, or with Alex and Jane, or with Pete and Jenny, and say that that's what's happened, that you believe, but you've never bowed your knee, because I'm sure they'll want to pray with you. Because there's a big difference between believing in God and actually following Christ with all our heart. There's a big difference. And it may be even today you're hearing this, you're thinking, I'm not sure I'm still following in the way that I did. The zeal has gone out of my heart to follow him. Things have happened which made it difficult. And I'm encouraging you to step again into that place and say, I fully trust in you. Again, I've been lied to a bit. I've been pushed to one side. It's time to reconnect with your loving Father. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So I've mentioned one area where we can be deceived, but I was just going to run through a few others. There are many others, but I'm just going to run through a few. Let's move on. Done that bit. Oh yeah. So in John 9:39, Jesus says, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who still see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked, "What are we blind to?" That's the defensive thing, isn't it? Yeah, are we blind too? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. So on scriptures like this, I've decided that my best option in life is to say, I can't see, Lord, help me see. That's it. I can't see, even though I might have experienced in some things and done things before, I can't see. Come from the place of humility and say, I can't see, Lord. I need to be able to see. Help me open my eyes to what is truly going on here. Open my eyes. So, got a few key points. We can all be deceived. Next one is what we desire and want can be an entry point for us to be deceived. And one deception that the enemy uses to convince us is that we think we can see clearly. That's a delusion and a lie in itself, that we believe, that we think we're spiritually so mature that we can't be deceived. But it's a dangerous place to live. It's a dangerous place to live because there's an arrogance which goes with that, which means the doorway is more open for the enemy to get in. So what are some of the things which cause us to be deceived? I'm sure you could write a list. And I've got a small one. I mentioned about desire, didn't I? And as I said before, not everything you want is wrong. I'll tell you one area where I've got things wrong before is having the right sort of desire for something of God, but getting the timing completely wrong. Because, you know, I was excited about maybe what God has said and thought, yeah, that's it. So you act on it. And the question I forgot to ask was, when do you want it to happen? Do you even want me to do anything about this? And, you know, I'm hoping I'm getting better at that as time goes on. So the other one, which is pretty obvious, really, is sin. That's anything we do, really, which is against the kingdom of God, selfishness, anything like that. All of these things I'm mentioning are what I would call doorways into your soul. So if I sin, I know that I can go to God and repent of that sin. And therefore, that doorway is then closed. If I've, you know, said, I'm truly sorry, Lord, for what I did there. Please forgive me, and say that to somebody if I've upset somebody. Do you know, I was very tempted then to use an example of Sue and I, but I'm not sure she might throw something at me. And that's not good for your first talk in a church. So moving swiftly on, before I get into too much trouble, you won't have a doorway into your life where this enemy can come and lie if you deal with this end properly. And you close that door by through repentance. Some other ones, unbelief, a lack of faith. You know, Jesus said, will I find faith when I return? Unbelief and lack of faith can be doorways for the enemy to get in and lie to us. It's quite a big doorway, actually, to be honest. Disobedience. I mean, I don't have any experience of this because I've never really been... See, I'm deluded. Completely deluded. I probably am the most disobedient person in this room at times. Even when the Lord God told me through his spirit, he wanted me to be a pastor when I was 17 years old. What did I say? I didn't say, oh, yeah, that's great. I'll do that. Thank you. I said, no, I'm not doing it. You can see who got their way. So disobedience, you know, is no good. You know, John 15 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. We all want to be friends of Jesus, don't we? We sing songs about it. But the reality is, you got to do what he says, even if it's costly. And I feel in this room at the moment that God is asking somebody to do something and it's too costly. In your mind, it's too costly to do this. But I want you to trust him. He won't let you down. And there's another area which I don't know much about at all as well. Pride. And I said, why don't we do public confession? I like public confession, especially when it's about other people and not me. No, I'm prideful at times. Does anybody else want to put their hand up and admit that they are at times prideful? Let's get it out in the open, shall we, so that the enemy hasn't got a hold on you. Confess it and deal with it. But pride has all sorts of difficulties. In Obadiah, the book I read regularly, says the pride of your heart has deceived you. The pride of your heart has deceived you. Don't let pride take any hold. Here's another one. Pain or trauma. It's quite a big doorway. If you've been through experiences which have been traumatic, difficult, the enemy will use those to try and implant lies. And, you know, Sue and I were hurt in a previous church experience when I was a leader of. And, I mean, God redeemed it and did all sorts of amazing things after that. But, you know, I could have thought, well, that was too difficult, or we could have thought it was too difficult. And I think Sue did think it was too difficult. And I should never go into church leadership again. And I could have just said, well, okay, but I actually held on to the call of God, which he'd given on my life. I said, no, I don't think I'll finish what God has said for me to do. But you may have similar things where you've been hurt or traumatized by things in the past, and the enemy's now lying to you and says it's going to be like that again in the future. Do you get where I'm coming from here? That the past experiences can stop you moving into the very things that God has destined you to do. I can see there's a few people maybe got some agreement here. And fear is the motivator, and fear is the doorway through which the enemy will lie to you. Because fear is not faith. And faith are the things which you can build your life's new kingdom on in Jesus. You may be surprised at this one. Success. If you've ever had a successful holiday, a successful business, success in whatever you do in your workplace, success and the human heart are not good bedfellows. the human heart, when it has been successful, has a problem, and it tends to go back to pride if you're not really careful. Success can be a liar, and the enemy sometimes seems to encourage success so that we eventually have a massive fall. And if you look around at church leaders and things like that, you'll see some very successful leaders at times who've also had a very bad time and things went terribly, terribly wrong. And so those in us, in any sort of leadership or influence, we have to be very careful, and each one of us have to be careful that success doesn't go to our heads and our hearts, because again, it's a place where the enemy can get in. In fact, I actually prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want to be too successful in my ministry because I'm not sure I can handle it. You might think I'm joking, but that may sound really silly. But there were times in my life where I thought I couldn't have handled it because I knew the weakness of my own heart and I needed to acknowledge that at that time. So, I'm going to be just quiet for a moment, and I want you to think about any lies that you think you have listened to. I'm going to pray first because there are spiritual blockages to these things. So, Lord Jesus, we come with open hearts before you, and we ask now that through your Spirit you would come and reveal any areas where we've been deceived, whether that's self-deception or believing lies from others or the enemy straight through that way. Would you speak to us now and bring that revelation? Okay. Just hold on to anything you feel that the Holy Spirit revealed at that time. And after the talk, during the last part of worship, there's an opportunity to ask someone to come and pray with you, or you can come and get prayer. And that would be a good time to do that. I feel that it's good to confess out those areas publicly almost, or with somebody prayerfully. I think it's really helpful to do that. It just sort of seals that doorway, stops the enemy sort of coming in again. So it'd be good to do that. I mean, we've looked at various entry points where the enemy can come and lie to us. But you're thinking, well, actually, how do I protect myself from all of that? What do I do, you know, to stop that happening? And there's a couple here. Psalm 26. You know, David said, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." I tend to try and do this while I'm in the shower. Apologies for those who are very visual. But test me, Lord, and try me and examine my heart and my mind. And the reason I do it in the shower is I actually want to just say, Lord, come and just wash it away. Just wash it away while I'm in the shower. And to come into my heart, and would you tell me what's going on inside my heart? Because I don't know. Again, I think I could be arrogant and not bother. But I try and be really open and say, Lord, would you come and examine my heart and my mind? Now, I used to have a problem with this, because many years ago, my connection between my mind and my heart wasn't very good. My mind seemed to be working relatively okay. I sort of functioned as a human being. But I realized fairly early on, especially in our time of being married, that my connection with my heart was a bit vague. And I do believe that sometimes it's men who maybe have a bit of an issue with this. Ladies, stop smiling, please. And for some guys I know, they're really connected with their hearts, and it's brilliant. For myself, I was not like that. I was disconnected from really what was going on in here. And so if you're in a place, you can be a lady as well, I know, this can be difficult if you can't connect with your heart. And it may be that you ask God to open your heart so that you can sense really what's going on there. And even as I say that, I can just sense somebody here with real pain. They don't want to open their hearts because actually you've got pain there, and that the reason you can't open your heart is because the pain is too great. And I'm just going to pray for you now. Lord God, would you come for that person where the pain is so great? Would you pour out your oil of healing upon their heart? Father, enable them to trust you, that as they open their heart to you, you will not hurt them or harm them. It says in Scripture, a bruised reed I will not break. And that's exactly how he feels for you. Invite him in. Amen. This is about deceiving. 1 John 1. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, you know. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's almost as if we claim that we can see really well. If we get arrogant in that, it's a sin. We need God to help. And we need to confess that actually that's what's been going on. So that can be really helpful. The other thing is to get really connected with Jesus, maybe through worship. Reading the Word of God is really important. You know, Jesus in John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. The more you've got Jesus in here, the more difficult it is to be deceived. In John 16, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So invite the Holy Spirit regularly into your heart. Find places where you get filled with the Holy Spirit. These things will help in stopping the enemy deceive you. Alex has been talking through James, which is really good. You know, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So if you don't want deception to come to your door knocking, make sure you put the word of God into practice. Don't just read it, do it. Be selective which part of the Bible you do that with. There are some bits which I wouldn't necessarily recommend, as others I would. But I'll leave you with that one. I'll get moved into a sort of a side alley if I go down that one. I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. The other thing is we can help one another. You know, if you're sitting next to a good friend or you're married or whatever, you can help one another. You could, you know, go up to them, tap them on the shoulder and say, you're being deceived. That works well in relationships. Have you tried that one? I'm too scared to do anything like that, personally. But the real, if you do this in love, then you can help one another. You can. Because Sue is much more likely to see that I'm being deceived than I will, because that's how it works. It's often somebody else might think, well, that seems a bit odd when they said that or did that. And in a gentle way, to just say, lovingly and prayerfully, are you okay with that? When you said that, it sounded like this, or yeah. Do you think maybe that's the truth, what you've just said there? It's going to create mayhem, I know, in all the families in this church. I'm sorry about this. But there we go. It's a good thing I'm not on the pastoral team, isn't it, really? Yeah. I mustn't do this. I'm terrible. Anyway, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Okay. In Acts 26, this is Jesus speaking to Paul. It needs context, this does. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is Jesus speaking to Paul. I think, as co-workers of Christ, we have a part to play. I mean, carriers of the truth, and also to pick up where deception and lies are, and to become more aware of those things in our spirit, and to be able to respond accordingly, to bring light into those situations. Because I tell you what, this world needs trust instead of fear. It needs hope instead of despair, and truth instead of delusions. I will just put a little caveat here, and it's an old saying, is that truth hurts. The truth about my heart, when I compare it with what the Spirit of God says to me about my heart, makes me look at my heart and realize what a shriveled mess it really is. And actually, I need help. And so, when the truth comes to us personally, sometimes it's uncomfortable about our lives. I don't like that bit, but I'll tell you one thing. I am so grateful for every time the Holy Spirit has revealed something which was wrong in me. Because I would have never grown if I just bypassed it and pushed it under the carpet. And some of those things were difficult to bear. They were hard to come to terms with. And part of me wanted to excuse it or defend myself. Don't do that. If it's the Holy Spirit speaking, allow him to bring that truth. Because the truth will set you free. And I don't know about you, but I want to be free. I want to be free. I can fulfill my destiny in Christ while I'm in the land of the living if I'm free in Christ. You'll be pleased I'm coming towards the end now. So, we can all be deceived. We've talked about that. Our desires can be an entry point for us to be deceived. We need to be keeping an eye on that. And one deception the enemy uses is to convince us that we can see clearly. That sort of illusion that we're okay. We don't need any help. We can sort it out. And the next one on here. We can overcome the lies of the enemy and fulfill our destiny. Let me read that one again. We can overcome the lies of the enemy and fulfill our destiny. If you think you'd like number four to be real for your life, would you like to put your hand up? Because I do. I want that. I don't want to be lied to. I don't want to be held back. I want to walk in freedom. Yeah. I want that. And also, I want it not just for me and for Sue. I want it for you as well. That's my heart. This is to see us all set free. Yeah. And avoid the lies which we've been listening to for years, some of us. Don't want any of that. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. So as we sort of finish, I'd like, if you're able to stand with me, if you can. And I go back to sort of the key verse. I'll just read it through one more time. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need that revelation. So that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, you have to forgive me, but I have actually changed scripture. What I've done, I've personalized it. So this is a personalized version. Have a look through it. and see if you feel comfortable, because what I'd like to do is for us to read it out together. All I've basically done is made it personal. Is everybody happy with this? Is that okay? Okay, after three, we'll do that. One, two, three. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I may know him better. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called me, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, his incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen. Lord Jesus, would you come by your Spirit now to bring a revelation of truth that will destroy areas of strongholds where people have been deceived maybe for years, that those strongholds will be broken in the name of Jesus, and that your truth, Lord Jesus, will prevail in our lives for your honor and your glory. Amen.